Coming up on Blind Abilities, Mandy Van Cleve.
He said, "I did not know you are sighted." That made my year. You know, one of the things I love the best about this job is there's really not a typical day. Do what you love and you'll never work a day in your life. That was a myth to me before. Now I know what they mean by that. My youngest client that I'm working with right now is 6 years old. I put a large print keyboard in front of her. She put her fingers on the home row. I'm what's called a sightling, helping as a beta tester.
So often, Blind Abilities features blind individuals, organizations, or businesses that have had an impact on the blindness community. Today, we feature a special individual who's dedicated a large part of her life, both working and volunteering, to enhance blind individuals. Please join me with my special guest, Mandy Van Cleve.
Happy to help.
Hi, folks. Pete Lane. Welcome to another Blind Abilities presentation. My guest today is Mandy Van Cleve. Good morning, Mandy. How are you?
Good morning, Pete, and good morning, listeners. I'm doing great.
Excellent. You're outside of Cincinnati, Ohio?
Yep. I live north of Cincinnati in Monroe. It's between Cincinnati and Dayton.
Well, Mandy, let's get started. Why don't you tell us who is Mandy Van Cleve and what are you famous for?
Today, I'm an access technology specialist with Cincinnati Association for the Blind and Visually Impaired. Before that, I either worked in education or corporate fields in hospitals, just doing tech work, IT, moved into teaching, community college, computer networking classes, things like that. If we want to go way back to the beginning, I came home from Girl Scout camp one day and there was a computer in my kitchen and it sat there and collected dust. But the plan was we were going to do our homework on it. We really didn't do much with it. And then we got a modem and one computer would call another computer. This was before the internet, back in the bulletin board system days.
Oh, right.
That's how we checked email. I think we just called it our messages, and we had handles, like what we call our usernames today. So
this is in the 80s, I would guess.
Yeah.
Yeah, pre-internet.
Yeah.
But you were introduced to the computer at an early age, that's for sure.
Yeah, I was around 13.
Yeah, nice. Did you go to college?
Yes, I went to Miami University in Ohio. My major was Management Information Systems. I learned a little bit about a lot of different programming languages instead of a lot about one. So
yeah, that's a blessing and a curse, I guess.
Yeah, it wasn't really how to fix computers, but more of the self-taught, being really intuitive with software and hardware that came naturally working with them on a daily basis.
That's a good basis, though.
Yeah.
A good foundation, yeah. So you graduated with a Management Information Systems degree. Your career has been IT.
Yes, the networking bug bit me really hard early on. That was right when networking started becoming a necessity in the businesses and the schools.
Mm-hmm.
And my first actual full-time IT job was at a school. They were transitioning to a new building. There was a lot of infrastructure that had to be put in place by the director. There was a transition from Mac to Windows.
Mm-hmm.
So everybody was freaking out about that.
Really? So they started off with Macs?
Yeah, there were Macs everywhere.
Wow.
And then I guess the business world adopted Windows more, preparing the students for college. It just seemed like people were coming in with more Windows knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
They kept a few Macs around still. And actually, I think being able to support both Macs and PCs, Windows computers everywhere I go has in many cases been the deal breaker between me getting the job rather than someone else.
Right.
Because instead of being, I'm a Mac.
Hello, I'm a Mac.
Or I'm a PC.
And I'm a PC.
I just say I'm a both.
And I'm a PC too.
You're ambi-tech.
Okay. Wait, don't they make canes?
Yes, they do. Ambutech. That's right. I think I meant ambitextrous. So what got you into assistive tech?
Well, I have to be honest, I was sitting at what they call an epic go live at a hospital, and it was a contract position. They said, hey, everybody, this is your last week. It ended up not being my last week. In fact, I think I worked 2.5 more years there, but I took that time when it was downtime, not really busy. I applied for 40 jobs, I think, in that course of that week, preparing for unemployment. And this was in November, I would say in March, I got a call from CABVI. It was the Access Technology Service Manager at the time, Mark Forsterling. It was a phone interview, then another phone interview, went in for in-person interview. I think 7 people interviewed me. And there was actually a test. It was we are going to break something hardware. We're going to break something software on this computer. You have to get into the guts and you have to find out what the problem is. They were feigning not really being familiar with the computer enough to use email just to test my teaching and patience skills. And to be honest with you, I think all interviews should be like that, especially yeah. Tech interviews.
Yeah. I was a bureaucrat, worked for the IRS for 39 plus years and hired a bunch of people. And I always added a simulation or an actual work exercise to the mix in my interview process. You know, people can prepare for interviews and talk a good game, but put them in a real life situation and add a little bit of stress, throw some wrenches at them and see how they actually react under fire. It adds so much. That sounds like a pretty difficult interview process, though, for you.
I loved it. Like I said, I wish more interviews would be like that. I would go and say, hey, just let me walk around your place and fix things for you and that, let that be my interview instead of sit here and talk about it or look at it on the paper. He loosened up some RAM so that it wouldn't boot and Dvorak'd the keyboard. After fixing both of those issues, he told me that I was the only one who had ever solved the keyboard issue. So I was real.
What did he do to the keyboard?
I made up a new word. I called it he Dvorak'd the keyboard. he changed the keyboard to Dvorak so that when you typed Qwerty, you got different letters because of the way a Dvorak keyboard has a different layout. And I knew to go to the language and region settings to change that. I had actually recently taught that in one of my college classes. So.
Excellent. So when was this that you got on with CABVI?
Oh, yeah, that's our abbreviation for Cincinnati Association for the Blind and Visually Impaired.
Right.
It's definitely shorter. I started in April 2011. I just celebrated my 5-year anniversary there.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
So this was not at the time a real focus or a drive towards assistive tech. This was one of 40 applications.
Well, actually, I'm glad you asked that because it wasn't just anything. I wanted to combine my tech skills with my teaching skills. And so that's what I searched for rather than just one or the other. And that's how I came across. I know I used Indeed.com, which kind of crawls the web for, say, like a company who might not necessarily post on Monster or Career Builder, but then they post on their own website. One of the specific things there at CABVI, it's not the same position when they need a new person typically. And what I mean by that is they look at what areas they're strong in and what areas they weren't strong in. And they noticed that they had a big waiting list for the low partial. That was a really good way for me to get started into the visually impaired field because it was a slower transition working my way up to screen readers.
So you work with Zoom Text, I imagine.
I do. That's probably the most popular program in the realm of the clients that I worked with.
I used Zoom Text for probably 20 years. Zoom Text is a pretty effective software package. Are you seeing any impact of the merger?
Well, not yet. It's a little bit too soon to tell anything with that right now, I believe. I know that part of that plan was for the developer talent. They really do have talented developers. So it's like, okay, we know how to fix this issue and you know how to fix that issue. Why don't we just get together, fix them both?
Sure.
I listened to a podcast where they talked about having the same mission. That was a really good point.
Yeah, exactly. Why don't you tell us what a typical day is like for you?
You know, one of the things I love the best about this job is there's really not a
typical day.
But just to generalize that, I might meet with two or three clients in a day, maybe none, maybe one. It may be in their home, their work site, in the lab. We might meet at a library. It just depends on everybody's circumstances. We will initially do an evaluation where we determine what their needs are, specifically their needs for they're going to go to school, they're going to go to work, use their computer at home, wherever they're using computer or other adaptive technology. And we also evaluate their training needs at the same time.
Mm-hmm. How long do you typically work with a client?
It does vary by person, their skill level that they're starting out with. Sometimes it's just say, here, it's an upgrade, learning the new features. Sometimes it's a person who has never used a computer, and that's fine. There's no initial expectation of skills required.
Right.
We've noticed a big increase in the senior citizen community of they're losing their connection with the world when they're losing their vision. And a computer is what the young people and how, you know, how they're keeping in touch with each other. So it's a great way for the grandparents or seniors to just stay in touch with their family, friends. We've got all this social networking now. They're into it. It's the way to stay in touch with family, research, do genealogy.
Oh, yeah. It's good that they're embracing it because I would imagine so many of them are afraid or anxious about it.
And I'm surprised at how many services and just companies out there expect people to have the internet and a computer. They're like, this is how you have to apply for this.
Exactly.
Well, not everybody has internet access or the equipment to get on the internet.
Well, the federal government, you cannot apply with a paper application. It's all online. So CAPV is a contractor with the state of Ohio?
Yes.
Is that the only source of clients that you get?
No. We actually work with clients in Kentucky and Indiana also.
Mm-hmm.
It's certain counties that are close to Southwest Ohio.
Right.
And Kentucky Office for the Blind is one of our sources. VA, Veterans Administration. We have grants. We have a grant writer who gets the private corporate grants. People bequeath their money to the agency, but the grants help us to help the people who aren't eligible for funding sources because either they're not working or the age group that they're in.
Sure.
Sometimes there are limits on what other funding sources can provide to them.
Right. I know I would be in that boat. I'm retired and I contacted the state to inquire about mobility training and they say, sure, we'll train you. We'll charge you. So, okay.
Well, there's also financial assistance that's a little bit different from the grants in some way.
Mm-hmm.
And there's self-pay, but it's on a sliding scale and they don't turn away anybody if they don't have the ability to pay.
So what is your current caseload? How many clients do you have now?
Good thing I just counted. Actually, that goes up and down throughout the year. And right now, it's at 32, which sounds low to me because it's usually around 40. But what happens is it's kind of an up and down where we close clients and then we can add new clients. And the various levels of activeness, there there might be somebody I meet with once a week. There might be somebody I meet with every other month. So how active a client is really varies. So the case number is, to me, that's an arbitrary number.
Right, right. Yeah.
Because of that.
How do you select or how are you assigned a new client? Do you have certain specialties or just a random selection? The next one on the top of the list goes to Mandy?
A little bit of both and sometimes geographical area. If there's no other reason, but this person lives closer to where I live. But skill area definitely plays a big part in that.
Mm-hmm.
They look at the eye reports, the acuities, just specific issues. And on paper, that stuff doesn't always translate to what the person's needs are. So it's good that we do go through the evaluation. But there are five of us in the Access Technology Service at CABVI.
Mm-hmm.
And there are four Access Technology Specialists, including me and our manager. A lot of driving.
Yeah, I would imagine. Do you have any memories of really unusual clients or unusual sessions?
Oh, wow. Plenty. Yeah,
you know, I'd be curious to hear some of the war stories.
I will tell you one. I took this as the highest compliment I could receive. When I first started getting into working with some users who use screen readers, the staff changed a little bit. Our manager passed away unexpectedly. Another person in our department changed positions. So we suddenly went from 5 to 3. It was my trial by fire to jump in. It was easier than I thought it was going to be because I knew there were a lot of shortcuts to learn. But with the client, he said, I did not know you are sighted.
Really?
Yeah, and I knew what he meant by that. He explained also that he had worked with sighted individuals in the past. They really didn't understand how a screen reader user uses a computer.
Mm-hmm.
That's one of my favorite
That
compliments.
Is an interesting perspective, yeah.
I think he asked me if my driver was with me or if I had a dog right. And things like that come up in conversation all the time. So he was just assuming, hey, I'm doing so well selling him out of
that
these
you must
jaws.
Use it yourself.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, that made my year.
What are your career aspirations?
Good question. Well, one thing I will say, there was this expression going around, do what you love and you'll never work a day in your life.
There you go.
That was a myth to me before. Now I know what they mean by that. I'm not thinking about time. I'm not thinking about other things. I'm in the zone.
Yeah.
I take my brain to work with me. There's some pieces of equipment involved too, but there are days where I just take my brain and teach somebody something that's going to make them more productive in their job, teach them something that makes the difference of them being social.
Right.
I didn't realize that that's what they meant by that.
Yeah. Certainly within assistive technology for blind people, this is a lifeline. It's their livelihood and making that experience as pleasant as you can and training them effectively can have a profound impact.
I thought of another client experience.
Okay.
My youngest client that I'm working with right now is 6 years old. We have an early childhood youth service at CABVI. They work with babies. They're starting to use computers younger and younger in the schools. They're already working on typing. My kids are adults. I don't think that they started working on typing until they were fourth, fifth, you know, up
right,
in those
right.
later grades.
But it's
and
a different day and age even now.
I put a large print keyboard in front of her. She put her fingers on the home row. Something simple as large print key levels for the people with low vision
right.
makes the biggest difference in the world. They come into our agency and they find out about a lot of things they didn't know existed.
Mm-hmm.
It gives a lot of people hope for being able to continue to do what they want to do.
Well, you know, I have to comment, Mandy, that your approach and your attitude towards not only your work, but the blindness community is refreshing. It actually segues into how I met you. Why don't you tell us a little bit about how I met you, how you met me, all about that?
It was a warm day on July 1st, 2016. It was the launch date of the BeSpecular app.
BeSpecular.
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 BeSpecular. Double tap to open.
Right.
And I didn't know what to expect because I had been helping as a beta tester. And I knew that the other users were also beta tester, where the VIP and the sightlings were beta testing the app and was going to be going live on iOS and Android on July 1st. I knew maybe it would take some time for people to sign up, but we were doing a lot to get the word out ahead of time. And I knew the developers were going out to the conferences
mm-hmm.
and the conventions and
doing podcast interviews, including with Jeff of Blind Abilities.
Yep, I listened to that. I described a file name. I think that was one of the first requests I got that day. And you had your voiceover quit on you. I know how that goes.
Hello. My computer voiceover went on the fritz, and I don't really know what document is in front of me. Could you read the file name for me, please? Thank you.
Oh, yeah.
It happens all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And I had some computer knowledge that file names are important with, you know, knowing where the spaces are and the ampersand.
Reply no one of two by Mandy.
Howdy, Pete. Sorry to hear you're having trouble with your computer. The file name looks like it says 00, comma, and I think there's a space, introduction and overview of audio hijack pro.mp3. There's spaces between all the words, and between introduction and overview, the and is the ampersand sign. So, hope you're having a great day and things get better.
Replies. You rated this as 5 stars.
I don't know if that factored into your happiness about my response.
Sure it did.
And I got an email from Stephanie Cowper, one of the developers.
Right.
And she said, I thought that you would be happy to hear this. And she sent me the link to your review. Well, it was what you'd said about, and it mentioned my name.
Oh, our podcast.
Yeah, she knew.
Yeah.
She knew that Mandy was me, I think.
We were doing, Jeff and I were doing reviews. Actually, Jeff was doing his demonstration of the app at that very time.
Welcome to Blind Abilities.
I'm Jeff Thompson. Bespeakular, that's B-E-S-P-E-C-U-L-A-R, just hit the App Store. You take a picture, and bang, someone comes on and tells you what exactly it is. They'll describe it.
And he included a message that I had sent to him in his demo.
I told Pete Lane about it, and he gave it a shot. Got back to me on Roger and said, hey, worked pretty good. And here's Pete's message from Roger.
Hey, took a picture on Bespecular of my MacBook screen. I've got Amadeus Pro opened. I've got a file opened. I asked him what the document title is. And I immediately got a response from Mandy. She was excellent and really friendly.
So I guess that's what she called to your attention.
Yeah, and I made a comment. So then you contacted me after that.
Right, right. So I got two responses that day on that same question.
Reply no 2 of 2 by Richard.
Hi, Pete. It's Richard here. The document is untitled. And just below it, it says 00 point introduction and overview of Audio Hijack Pro.
You rated this as 5 stars.
For those of you who do not use Bespecular, it's just a terrific app. I heard recently from some of my friends here locally that one person sent a question in, what's this box in my medicine cabinet? She got 6 responses in 45 seconds. It's that responsive an app. So those of you who do not currently use Bespecular, go to the App Store now. Do not pass go. Do not collect $200 because it's free. It's object recognition and more. So you're a volunteer for the Bespecular app.
Yep.
Talk about that.
I'm what's called a sightling. That's a cutest
sightling
name. Yeah. It's cute. The response, it comes through as a notification on my phone. If I'm able to take it safely, I will pop in the app. There's a picture. There may be multiple pictures. There may be text on the screen asking the question. There may be an audio recording with the VIP's question.
Mm-hmm.
I actually, myself, I have the choice also of typing my response or reading the audio.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes, especially like in the case with your request, it was easier to do that audio. And I have thought of things that might matter, like why you would prefer an audio response or text mm-hmm. response, especially if somebody who is using a Braille device,
right.
a Braille display for their information. So any feedback that you have, the developers are very responsive to that. And then I hit send and the response goes out. Sometimes it tells me that the response got deleted before I either finished my response.
On the VIP end, you are prompted by the app. If you've read or listened to your first response, it prompts you actually repeatedly if you want additional responses. So I imagine if you say no to that, that's when you, the sightling, would get the message that it's been deleted.
Yep.
Cool. So it's a pretty active app. You've said you've been a participant during the beta period. How many contacts and responses have you made?
202 replies sent.
Good Lord.
Since they started counting. And that was during the beta testing period and some during the active new period, but happy to help.
Yeah. Well, it just speaks to your, again, your attitude and your outlook that you're a giving type of a person. And I appreciate the response. And I'm sure the other 201 folks do as well. So you're also a sightling or whatever the term is for the Be My Eyes app as well?
I believe that's Sighted Helper. I have only received one opportunity to help. I've been signed up with the app for as long as I can remember when they started. It
right.
might have been a year and a half ago.
Yeah.
But their network is 373,000 sighted helpers. And then they have almost 29,000 people who are signed up for help. It actually, the one time it happened to be a computer user who needed to know what was on his screen at the time. And I knew that was the login screen and mm-hmm. kind of helped him get into where he needed to be to get some speech on his computer. It's like a FaceTime call, but it's somebody who's awake that
right.
you don't necessarily know if your friend or family member who you might normally ask for help is going to be available.
True.
So,
yeah, in the middle of the night, I don't want to wake up my brother. Yeah, that's a huge network. So it may be just as active or even more active. In fact, I would think the likelihood is pretty good because it's been around longer and there are so many participants on both sides of the house.
But as far as your involvement, Bespecular has been more active.
Yeah, and I want to say, I think the reason for that is Bespecular gives multiple people the opportunity to respond.
Yeah, true.
I bet it's great to have multiple opinions in some instances.
Oh, sure it is, yeah.
The ones that are difficult, though, are the color. The camera just, there's nothing blocking out all the light in the room that's altering what the color looks like through the camera.
Yeah, but at least Bespecular gives the blind user the opportunity to elaborate and describe what he or she wants.
I love how Bespecular and Be My Eyes match the users up with each other.
Right.
And it's like, okay, we've got the people who want to help and we've got the VIPs, and let's make one app that puts all that together. I heard the information that you put out on your podcast about Aria.
Uh-huh, right.
Looking into that.
Well, Mandy, what else would you like to share with our audience?
I'm really impressed with all the advances just in the 5 years that I've been working in this field.
Mm-hmm.
High definition has been a game changer in the CCTV video magnifier world.
Oh, yeah.
OCR exploded.
Right.
Just the improvements. And it's a friendly competitiveness that's going on between the typical companies who had been serving the community and mainstream devices.
Yeah.
The thing I'm most happy about, I'll tell you, when I first started, I had sticker shock. I saw this table of Braille note takers, devices. I had no idea the price tags on those items were upwards in the thousands and thousands of dollars.
Yeah.
I realized a lot of research and development went into creating those products, and they like to say that it's a small market that they were providing their products to. I'm very happy to see the prices either the same as they were 5 years ago or even going down with a lot of these items, not at a loss of quality, or they're actually improved products. So.
Yeah, exactly. For our listeners who are located in the southeastern Ohio area, is there a way that somebody might get in touch with you?
There's an intake process involved in the agency where they would talk with a social worker to find out what services they need.
Right.
I could let you know our main number.
Sure, let's do that.
It is 513-221-8558.
And this is the Cincinnati Association for Blind and Visually Impaired, located in Cincinnati, of course.
We're on Gilbert Avenue, close to downtown.
And you provide services other than tech. I would imagine the organization covers the full array of blindness training.
Yes, we have low vision specialists, vocational rehabilitation specialists, orientation and mobility specialists, early childhood youth services, radio reading services, talking book machine coordinator who helps individuals sign up for talking book program through the NLS.
Good. Do you have a transition age student program with kids in high school or migrating from elementary to high school or high school to college or college into the workforce?
Yes, I work with a lot of the transition students lately, just on a one-on-one individual basis where we evaluate the individual's equipment and training needs. Kentucky is actually getting started on that earlier. They made a new initiative to try to get started at or before their junior year to prepare sooner for that transition. And that's working out really well so that they're not abruptly changing everything they do right when they start college.
Oh, by the way, you need to know this.
It's a big shock to go from having the support that you've had in the school you've probably been in your whole life, and you've got aides and teachers, and then you get to college and you have to advocate a lot for yourself, work with disability services. Such a big difference in the help you received before, and then a lot more independence. That's a good thing, but there's a lot more advocating for themselves that the students have to do at that age. It's a lot to throw at a student at once. You're moved away from home. You're in a new environment without the support system that you had. Anything we can do to make that transition easier?
Yes, I would agree. I understand also that you have kind of a unique perspective on blindness itself. You want to talk a little bit about that?
Yes, I feel like I'm paying it forward right now. I really didn't know that until about 8 or 9 months into my work. So I started working in the field before I was aware, but I found out that I have a progressive vision condition. I think I found out a little sooner than I would have because I went to a LASIK assessment to see if I was a candidate for laser vision correction.
Right.
I found out I had guttata on my cornea. I couldn't get the laser vision correction surgery because that would exacerbate the problem. There are ways it affects me now with pretty bad light sensitivity, but then the cells in my cornea are dying faster than they would with normal aging. I think I've got the corneas of an 89-year-old.
Oh, my goodness.
So anyway, and those cells don't grow back, and they eventually degrade enough to the where it really decreases vision. I'm so prepared that, and most people don't get that luxury of knowing ahead of time.
True.
Being able to adapt so far ahead, I feel like it's a blessing and it's unique to my situation. I don't hear that every day, and so happy that I can pay it forward.
Right. And we talked earlier, and it's a unique position to be in, that what you're teaching others is something important to you, not just convey it, but absorb it.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you for sharing that. Do you have anything else, any questions or any other comments that you'd like to share with our listeners?
I actually am glad the exchange that happened with Stephanie happened, because I already listened to several tech, accessibility, and mainstream types of podcasts, and I hadn't come across one like Blind Abilities. Seems like you have different topics.
Yes.
Whereas not necessarily the same topic, but most podcasts out there are either structured to interview somebody and it's the same format every time. But I've added you guys to the top of my list. I subscribed, and I just love how it's something different. It's like a surprise every post you guys make.
That's great. Jeff Thompson and I made the decision a while ago to just kind of go where we think we want to go. Hey,
oops.
Somebody's calling. What song was that?
Whatever is on the intro to your textbooks and accessible format.
Oh,
podcast.
Yeah. Jeff's interview with Cheryl and Rocky G. Yeah.
I love that about the podcast. Keep it up. You say it's the seat of your pants, but it's something new and fresh.
Well, thank you so much.
With each episode.
Very kind to say. Thank you so much. Well, Mandy, it's been a pleasure chatting with you. I really do appreciate it. I want to thank you so much for sharing a little bit about your work and your life and your views on blindness.
Thank you so much for having me.
We've been speaking with Mandy Van Cleve from Cincinnati, Ohio, assistive tech specialist with the Cincinnati Association for Blind and Visually Impaired, volunteer with a variety of blindness apps, including Bespecular and Be My Eyes, and hopefully you'll be associated with Ira.
I know that Cheryl Spencer
spoke
about
that.
Yeah.
These are the glasses that have the camera on board, and you have a sighted volunteer actually guide you in real time wherever you want to go. So again, Mandy, thanks a million, and have a great day.
Thanks. You too.
Thanks again to Mandy Van Cleve. For more podcasts with a blindness perspective, check us out on the web at www.blindabilities.com. We're on Twitter at Blind Abilities. We're also on Facebook. And check out our new app, free in the iOS App Store. Thanks so much for listening. Have a great day.
When we share
what we see through
each other's eyes, we can then begin to bridge the gap between the limited expectations and the reality of blind abilities.
Do you have a favorite music genre or artist?
There's a group called Arcade Fire. There's a group called Silver Sun Pickups. I like every single song on their album. They don't have a bad song to me.